Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's an honor to be here today, giving honor to your pastor, a very courageous man of God, who is one of my best friends in the entire world. He's not the only one I got, but he's one of the ones that I really enjoy being around. I got a lot of good friends that I love, but I don't exactly enjoy being around them. Amen. But it's just good to be here. And we have a service in Norwich at 3 o'clock, so you're fortunate today. Amen. I am going to watch the clock a little bit, because there are people over there that don't know we're here that will be visiting, and I'll try to make it back in time to meet them. Amen. That's no guarantee of anything. Let's all stand together. Amen. Praise God. I want to open the Bible and just share just for a moment here something that I'm thinking about. Has been in prayer. And just, I don't really have a sermon as you might think of a sermon with an outline and a lot of things that would be well organized so that we make sure that we do everything that pleases the preacher judges. But I have a thought, and I want to share it with you. And I'm going to look at the book of Matthew first, in the 6th chapter, some words of Jesus. 6th chapter of Matthew, and we'll begin at verse number 19. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Amen. And I want to also, while you remain standing just a moment, briefly read here in the book of Romans. Amen. And I'm in Romans, the 8th chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Starting at verse number 31, I'll just pick out a few verses here so it won't be lengthy. Verse 31, the 8th chapter of Romans. What shall we say to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, everybody say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's just raise our hands for a moment and praise him. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you love him today? Give him praise. Give him honor. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. 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 You may be seated. And just reading these beautiful words here from the Word of God. And all last night, I was listening to preaching because I have some things going on the internet that include a lot of preaching and a lot of people all over the world listening to various ministers that have lived through the years. And I collect these messages. People send them to us in the mail, and it takes a while to record them and, you know, put them into a format where they can be played and streamed on the internet. But it's a blessing to me because I get to hear these messages as I'm getting them prepared for other people to listen to. And all night long, even though I was sleeping, and you know how you are sometimes, you in and out, but I was opening up my eyes and hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. It's a whole lot better. It's just a whole lot better than what I used to wake up to years ago when the little television was on, and you know, things I didn't mean to be watching came on when I didn't know it while I was asleep, but there's something about the Word of God when it's just there. And at various times I heard little things that just made me feel happy. Amen. Made me feel happy. Just even though it might have been only 10 seconds that I would wake up, I'd go right back to sleep feeling happy. Thank you, Jesus. And when I woke up this morning after the sun came up and I decided to get up, amen, which is very rare early in the morning for me, I had these thoughts on my mind. I don't know if one of those preachers said it last night or where it came from, but it sure was a good thought. It was a wonderful feeling that our Heavenly Father provided for us in such a way. When Jesus came, it was God saying to all of us, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see that you're able to make it no matter what you have to go through. If you will just receive it, I am giving you a way out of every situation you might find yourself in. I'm giving you a gift that if you will turn to that, no matter where you find yourself or what is going on in your life, the sufficient need for you to recover will be there. That's God providing us a Savior, for God so loved the world. You know, we can read John 3:16, and it's a good Bible verse, but when you get to thinking about how much he really does love us, it just sinks deep in your heart. Praise God to think that our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all creation, his presence is in everything, yet he thought enough of each one of us. As the scripture I read, the hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows every little sparrow that falls to the ground. Amen. When it says words like the hairs of your head are all numbered, it's not just to convince us that God knows how to count the hairs on our head. There's a deeper word than that involved here. He said, I care about you so much that I pay attention to every little detail about you. I know where every little thing is that's going on in your life. It's not just about the hairs of your head. It's about the circumstances that you're faced with on Monday morning tomorrow. It's about the pain that you may be going through, or the suffering, or the anguish, or the things that are bothering you the most. It's not just about the hairs on your head. Your Heavenly Father cares so much for you that He has provided a way for you to be okay no matter what's going on in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, this writer in Romans, Paul, evidently had a hold of this, and he was able to share with us in the Word of God as he's moved on by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When you know, he was in another passage, he talked about the thorn in the flesh. Amen. And I've heard debates. I've heard people say, "I wonder what that thorn was." Womanizers say it's probably women. Amen. People that are addicted to things say, well, it might have been drugs, or it might have been this, or it might have been that. And anybody that wants to kind of use this man's problem with a thorn can possibly find something, hoping that maybe he went through that too and he was able to make it because God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." But these words are not in the Bible to give somebody an excuse to do something that they feel like is justified because somebody else might have had a problem in the flesh. I'll tell you what the biggest thorn in the flesh is to any of us. It's the fact that we just have to deal with flesh. The thorn, to me, is the flesh. It is constantly a messenger of Satan that buffets me. Praise God. There are things that go on in my life that are dear to me. Dear to me. There are people that are loved ones that I have loved so much through the years, and some of them passed away. I did not want them to die. Amen. Have you ever had loved ones pass away and you didn't want them to die? And waking up this morning, not only was I thinking about how much God loves us so much that He gave us a gift through Jesus Christ the Savior that was the ultimate gift. It was like, I thought about that, you know, He'll do whatever it takes to make it possible for us to make it. But not only that, praise God. In reading how much He cares for us and about the treasures, lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth. Somehow it just came to my heart, something that I've thought on many times before, but it was dear and precious to me this morning. That it doesn't really matter, no matter how much we're attached to things, what we give up or what we may lose in this life. Anything that we put on the altar or anything we put in the hands of God will always be there. It'll still be there, no matter what else goes wrong. Praise God. In other words, if you have a problem today and you're having sickness in your life, you've lost your health, you've lost your youth, you've lost something that's dear and precious to you, a loved one, whatever it is, it would be a good idea, if you haven't already, to start putting some treasures in things that'll never go away. It would be a good idea to make your best friend Jesus. He'll always be there. Thank you, Jesus. It would be a good idea for us to just say, hey, there's something to this Word of God, and I'm just going to start trusting in God. The Scriptures give us some instructions. Says, seek you first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's easy to read through that passage and take it lightly and say, oh yeah, take it lightly, you know, oh yeah, we're supposed to go to church and that's supposed to come first in our life. We're supposed to pay our tithes. We should make sure that comes first in our life. And all these things may be true, but it's deeper than that. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. It's not a big God up there shaking His finger in our face and saying, you better seek me or else. But it's a loving God saying, I know what's best for you. And if you will seek me first, I'll make sure that whatever it takes, something good is going to come out of it all. All things will work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Thank you, Jesus. It's difficult for some people to grasp this. They can only see God as one who punishes us. Hallelujah. That's a deceiving lie that's from darkness, to think of God as just an abusive creator. One that wants something bad to happen to us every time we goof up. What God has fixed for us is a remedy to the goof up. Amen. That's what Calvary's all about. Thank you, Jesus. Church is not just for church people. And it's not just for perfect people to come and get together and say, look what we were able to do. It's no more that than an emergency room is just for well people. Hallelujah. The hospital is not for people to have perfect health. But if a sick person shows up, they're not going to turn them around and say, you go back because this is a hospital and we got certain standards here and you can't come in here. You're sick.
Come on,
praise God. The kingdom of God is all about healing. The kingdom of God is all about mercy. The kingdom of God is all about long suffering. The kingdom of God is that it's all about grabbing hold of things that will last and will endure. It'll always be there. And when you get yourself in trouble, don't try to hide from God. The Word of God tells us by example and by teaching so many ways, don't hide from God. Run to God. Go to God. Make your way somehow. Come boldly to the throne in the time of need. When you've messed your life up, it's a good time to go boldly to the throne because He knows how to fix the mess. Thank you, Jesus. I've got friends who are living with a cloud over their head. They don't know they can be set free because what they have done is so terrible in their way of looking at it and in the ways that others have looked at it. And I'm telling you, you can find people today that you better be glad they're not God. Because you just, you know, some of the things that we have all, you take all of us together. How would you like me to hand you this microphone this morning and you tell me everything you've done wrong in the past 2 years? Say, no, 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 no. Everybody say, no, 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 no. It's not the Lord that is condemning us and trying to make us feel bad all the time about what we've done. Jesus gave an example, a perfect example of what God is all about. It's not that He justifies sin. It's not that He condones it. It's not that He says you need to sin so you can repent and come to me and feel better. It's not that at all. But He took time with a little woman who had some accusers around her, saying this lady has done something terrible and she needs to be stoned to death. And Jesus said to those accusers, let him that's without sin among you cast the first stone. And they were all guilty. And we've all had problems in our life. And we all don't have any business seeing something wrong with somebody else because you go back to a certain time in our lives and we'll find we've done something just as bad. And there's things that people don't know about, but we don't need to go around acting like we've always been perfect.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you something. This church didn't come about just because everybody was perfect.
Right.
These pews are not here just because everybody was perfect. Amen. These lights are not on just because everybody was perfect. What we have here is a place together because some people endured some trials. Some people went through some hard times. Some people went through some rough waters. Some people went through some sicknesses and some storms and kept holding on to an unchanging hand. A compassionate God that never gives up. A way maker and a provider who stretches out His arm and says, I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how tough it is. I don't care how bad it seems to you or any of your neighbors. I will do and have done whatever it takes to fully restore you and give you back more than you ever lost. And you'll never lose what I give you if you'll hang on to it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Him. Worship Him. Clap your hands to Him. Lift up your voices to Him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thank you, Jesus. These folks living with that cloud over their head, you know, it's like, oh, I never thought I would do anything like I did. You know, I don't know what Paul was dealing with when he talked about his thorn in the flesh, but whatever it was, his response from God was, my grace is sufficient. Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you today, no matter what you're dealing with, his grace is sufficient. Our accuser is not God. Once you start trying to get closer to the Lord and you start trying to live for him, you start dedicating your life, you're going to have all kinds of people looking for fault in you. Because that's driving their lives is filled with fault. Amen. Those spirits that are there, whether or not we want to admit it, the air is polluted with filthy spirits. And all you have to do to get one of them is just yield. You don't have to ask the devil to come and help you out. He'll come anyhow if you just breathe. You just glance toward his deceiving ways. Amen. All over this world, there are lights trying to say, come this way. There are signs beckoning to us, come this way. There are movies saying, come this way. There are things that will actually cause emotion, cause people to tear up and cry, saying, come this way. There are things that are so ordinary and so common, and people get wrapped up in these things, and then they wonder, what's wrong with me? I don't have any victory. I don't have any peace. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I can't do right. I keep messing myself up. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the answer. Not a mean Jesus, but a Jesus that says, neither do I condemn you. Now, why would he say that to a terrible sinner? It's because he knows what he is and what he has, and once you get a hold of it, how you're going to be clean and spotless. Thank you, Jesus. All you need to do is spend a little time with your best friend. All you need to do is not be afraid to talk to him like he is your best friend. You don't need to go to bed at night and say your prayers. Our dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, I'm so glad you're up there. Now watch over me tonight. Oh, let me read this so I'll get it right. No, you just go ahead. You just go ahead and be yourself. He knows the very hairs of your head. He knows when you've got bad breath. He knows your thought before you think it. Thing about it, you know, we change so much. It's amazing just to think how big God really is, and we can't comprehend it. We talk about how he made everything, but think about what he's doing in the midst of all that he made. Every time you change, since he knows the end from the beginning, the end of what you're facing changes with you. I mean, the whole human race. And he knows every hair on every head of every person, every baby. But he's not up there in heaven somewhere saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's everywhere all the time, and he knows right now, as soon as you have a mood swing. And not just you, but all the billions of us that have mood swings. He knows all the hairs on our heads, and he knows our aggravating moments. And he knows what happens to the whole course of everything in creation that's going to involve your life as soon as you make a turn in any direction. That's why it's good to pray and call on the name of the Lord when you got loved ones that's going the wrong direction. Because God can kind of plant some things there to kind of turn them another way that'll cause the direction to end up directed by the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you what, go ahead and pray for your lost loved ones. He's not going to force anything on them against their will, but the direction they're going right now is going to take them to some place that's not going to keep them happy forever. Pray for them, because as you turn to God and pray, God is watching over them right now. He knows where they are, what they're going through, what it's going to take in their pathway to cause them to consider the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody out there has just the right words. Somebody somewhere near has just the right thing to say, or that they may be able to do, to tell that friend of yours or that loving of yours some words in such a way that they'll consider, well, maybe I should take a look at serving God. One of the worst things that seems to be going on, and I'm watching the clock. I am watching the clock. One of the worst things that seems to be going on in people witnessing to others and trying to win them is we're cramming salvation plans down their throats. You've got to do this to be saved. Or, you know, the way the world receives it sometimes, we talk to them, is they're not hearing what we're saying. All they're doing is standing there looking at us thinking, you think you're holier than I am. They're not hearing what we're saying. The best thing we could possibly do for our friends and neighbors is somehow make a believer out of them. And the best way I know to do that is just be a believer yourself. Because if you're a believer, things start happening to you. You start getting around people that believe also. Then you hear the reports. A miracle happened. There was a healing. You know why that great big multitude followed Jesus? We read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that big multitude and people just reaching out, just wanting to touch Him. You know why they were there? They heard about Him. Somebody somewhere heard about, there's a man among us. We don't fully understand Him. He's a man. But everywhere He goes, things just change. A whole multitude was out here and everybody was hungry because so many healings were going on and so many diseases were disappearing. A lot of us just went out and followed Him. Many of us out of curiosity, but we got hungry. We forgot to take our lunch. And so we were out here in this field listening to this man talk and our stomachs were growling. Now, somebody, you know, a few days later could hear this report. Now, they could have been hearing something like this. Do you know Jesus? Have you heard about Jesus? Have you obeyed Jesus? That wouldn't have gone over. That wouldn't have done anything for them. But when they start hearing reports like, I was out there in that old field, my stomach started growling, and that man up there took two little old fish and five little loaves of bread and fed over 5,000 people and had food left over. And it was the best fish I ever ate. I don't know how he did it, but you just got to see this man. You just got to hear what he's got to say. If you could see what I saw, if you could know what I learned, if you could find what I found, and that will draw the people to him. That will draw the people to him. They can take away your home, they can take away your car, they can take away your family, but they can't take away your experience. They can't take away your experience where Jesus made it all better for you. Clap your hands to Him and praise Him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Best witnessing tool we've got is to keep ourselves where the testimonies keep coming. And we have these things happening around us that we can't doubt. This is God. You know, the Word of God tells us that He chose through the foolishness of preaching. Not through foolish preaching. He chose through the foolishness of preaching to save who? Them that believe. Thank you, Jesus. So see, if we can get a few people to believe, then it might be possible that they might even respond to an invitation to a place where people care about them. To a place where things happen that make a difference and nobody can quite explain it. But some of you have had things happen in your life. And there are several doctors attached to this congregation or part of this congregation. And no telling how many doctors and people in the medical profession are connected in one way or another because this is a dynamic, unique congregation that's going to make a major mark in the world and already has. My little sister had polio. The doctor in Arkansas over 50 years ago said, Brenda doesn't just have polio. He said, polio has Brenda. She was unable to speak or move. That's the way I found her that morning. I woke up, there she was in the bed, eyes rolled back, her mouth open, and she didn't respond. It was breakfast time, but she wouldn't respond. I called for my parents, and they came, and they were alarmed. Brenda, Brenda, wake up! And she couldn't move. She had polio. This was the year 1952. And the doctor said, not only does she have it, but polio has Brenda. And the best he could offer for hope was, if she can survive, the best I can promise is maybe an iron lung. And she's going to have help for a long, long time. Well, 3 days later, Brenda was standing up and walking around and having a happy time. Why? Because Jesus was listening to every word that was spoken. Jesus was watching every movement of every person involved. And Jesus was with that man by the name of T. Richard Reed, who was driving across the state of Arkansas, headed to Hot Springs, Arkansas, going near Little Rock, Arkansas, and as many miles from where we were. But something prompted him to turn his automobile and go several miles out of his way to visit our family. When he knocked on the door, after my sister had been like this for a couple of days, paralyzed, weak, unable to move or speak. When he knocked on our door, my father, who was a minister of the gospel for years at that time, he stood there with tears in his eyes. He hadn't shaved. He hadn't changed clothes ever since we found out that Brenda had polio. But when Brother Reed knocked on that door, this little short, chubby man looked about like me. Amen. He knocked on that door. And I was a little kid, and I looked up at this man. I looked at my daddy, and they met face to face. Brother Reed, I remember the words. He said, Brother Rutledge, I had to come here because something, as I was praying and driving my car, made me come here to see what's happening in your family. And he said, so what is it? And my dad broke down and started crying. And he said, my daughter is sick with polio, and it looks like it's really got her, Brother Reed. And he said, get off of my shoulder, back up, get a hold of yourself, wipe those tears out of your eyes, go shave, put on some clothes, and let's find some believers. Hallelujah. I thought he was mad at my daddy. I went in the back room and I was mad at him. You don't talk like that to my daddy. He actually shoved him back and said, you go get yourself together. He wasn't being mean. He was reminding him of what he had that nobody can take away. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody can take away. They went down to this little church. It was a little church where just a humble group, Elder Street. I mentioned this to Pastor Geddes when he was alive. And when I mentioned Elder Street being the pastor of that church, he just lit up all over and said, oh, I knew Elder Street. And that's something, come all this distance, all these years go by, walk into Newington, Connecticut, talk about a childhood experience, and talk about a man that's been dead for about 40 years, and calls a pastor, amen, just light up all over because he remembered that man. There's something about the kingdom of God. We find fellowship in the strangest place. Hallelujah. But it was Elder Street. I remember Elder Street so well. He was another chubby man, about like me, except he was kind of a different shade of skin. And he was sitting on that platform. And I remember one night, he was snoring. And it was very noticeable because I went over there to visit along with my dad after we had this tremendous miracle go on. We started visiting that church, and I was sitting back there in the back of that congregation, and this long line of, they were having a fellowship meeting, this long line of ministers was on the platform. Brother Street was snoring, and he was on the platform, somebody else was at the pulpit, and the speaker would say something, he'd go, and so this long line of men, you know, it started, and this is what, I remember because I was a kid, and it's just, I don't know, this is what I paid attention to in church back in those days. When he snored, I giggled, you know, and somebody told me to be quiet, so, you know, I wasn't listening to that guy, I was watching him snore. But I watched these people, he'd start snoring, and this preacher all the way over on the other end from where he was sitting would punch a guy next to him and whisper, you know, and he'd punch the next one, he'd whisper it. He'd punch the next one, he'd whisper it. And it went right down the line till it got to Elder Street, and he'd punch him, and he'd go. And that went on all through that message at night. Hallelujah. But when they went into Elder Street's service, my sister was still in that bed with polio and unable to speak or move. And my father walked in. It was during a time of some racial tension in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And it was not a good time to go visit unexpectedly at nighttime, whether you be any race, because the National Guard was out and there were a lot of bad things going on. But I tell you what, when you get desperate enough, you'll do whatever it takes. And that's how God felt about all of us. When he gave us a Savior and a healer and a way maker, he was desperate for friends that would be faithful. Somebody, I mean, it's a God desperation is greater than any desperation you've ever known. He said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, no matter what I have to go through, to see that which is hopeless finds hope. And that which is helpless finds help. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Reed and my daddy walked into that little church. The minister was in the pulpit preaching that night. And when they walked in, it scared those humble, beautiful people. And the preacher stumbled. He didn't know what to say or what to do. And my father and Brother Reed were the only white men there. And they stood in the aisle. Those folks didn't know what these white men came in to rob them or what was going on, you know. But it was a time when the racial tension, the problem was on everybody's mind, and because nobody knew how it was all going to turn out. And you didn't have to have prejudice on any side just to be involved because you were there. And it was a scary time. People were burning each other's houses down and people were being stabbed and things like that going on. And so they stood up in that aisle of that church. And my father said, I'm a desperate man. And he said, I'm begging you people, if you know how to call on God, to talk to God about my little daughter who has polio. And the preacher closed his Bible. And everybody just stood up. Nobody said a word. They just stood up and turned around and knelt down at their seats and started calling on the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we need something besides the preaching going on. Sometimes it takes a little something extra for us to stop sleeping during the message and stop going to sleep and snoring in church because everything's same old, same old. It's good sometimes for a little shaking to go on. It's good sometimes for something different to kind of hit the place. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who got the most benefit, that little congregation or my sister, but I know everybody got blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Picture this. On a Wednesday night, about 35 people kneel down and call on the name of Jesus. On that same night, Dr. Robinette in Pine Bluff, Arkansas is walking the floor worried and concerned because there's no hope for that little girl to recover in that room in there on the same night. But the next morning, my mother was walking at the foot of her bed. Brenda was still lying there with her eyes rolled back. and couldn't move. And my mother was whispering that name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she heard something behind her. And when she turned around, Brenda was standing up in the bed. Was standing up in the bed with a smile on her face. And she said, "Mama, can I have a Coke?" Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I talked to Brenda yesterday on the telephone. She's doing fine. She hasn't had a limp from that. She hasn't had a problem from it. And she's been okay all these years. They released her from the hospital that day. And until the day Dr. Robinette died, every time I would meet with him, he always brought up the subject. And he never did go to our church, but he always talked about it. And when he would talk about it, tears would come in his eyes. And he said many times to me and our family, "Somebody bigger than the medical profession walked into that room." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid if you're sick, if you're hurting, to call on the name of Jesus, no matter what you've done. No matter where you're coming from, even if you haven't gone to church, even if you haven't acknowledged God, just starting to acknowledge Him and turn to Him will turn everything that's in your pathway from what it would have been to what it will be with God's help. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.